welcome to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne, and I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything related to retail, NDC, one order, and distribution. I work as an instructor both with IATA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So let's see what's been in the news. Last week was week 14 of 2024. Unfortunately, we started last week with the sad news that Paul Byrne from IBS passed away. That news, as I said, came out on Monday, and there were really some plenty of very superb comments made, many of which recall funny stories with Paul. And, you know, I myself had a great catch up with him only recently at the last T2RL event. So from the entire Linking the Travel Industry community, I wish to send our condolences to his family. He will be missed not only by you, but also by so many in the travel industry.
Yes, he was really a lovely man to be missed. Always remember, he always put a smile on my face, I must say.
So many funny stories in those comments.
Oh, I know.
Also in the news that Air Malta ceased operations after 50 years. And just to confuse the Americans, the new KR Malta Airlines took to the skies. So what happened there, Anne? Was it just a consolidation and a revamp and off they went?
I think it's the same as ITA, isn't it? It's just, I'm intrigued by it. I would really like to sort of sit down and analyze what is it that they can't do right. Yeah, I mean, it's been ongoing for years, hasn't it? I guess this is another attempt. And you'd think, I mean, Malta has huge, you know, it's a great destination. It's enormous potential. Yeah, you know, it's amazing that they can't make it work. Mind-boggling.
My next story, this was interesting. If you don't follow Rob Burgess on LinkedIn, you should. He has a wealth of knowledge regarding airline, especially loyalty. And he wrote about the fact that British Airways lost direct control of British Airways Holidays. It's now being taken over by IAG Loyalty. Very interesting post, interesting move. And even he found that interesting. So I don't know if you read that, Anne, what do you make of it?
Like I've said many times, this could have been such a revenue maker for British Airways. BAs in the UK, where, you know, EasyJet Holidays is a huge success for EasyJet and really a revenue maker. Hopefully, you know, IAG will make the brand better. It's a sad loss for British Airways. Don't you think so?
I do. I mean, they were not the most popular supplier, I have to say. No. I mean, we know that. Maybe with the IAG control, they get a bit better at it. Next story involves an very interesting development, really. This is Steve Singh, very well known in our industry indeed, took a group of investors and he's acquiring Direct Travel in the US to work on his mission of what he calls fulfilling the perfect trip. So lots of very interesting moves here. He's obviously involved in SpotNana as well, and he's going to bring that in and a few other new startups. So Ash, I'd be fascinated to hear your comments on this development.
This is actually a very, very interesting move by Steve. Last week, we were talking about the MX-CWT merger and, of course, SpotNana's position, and that was with CWT. I don't think they have one after the merger occurs, but I think that the purchase of Direct Travel was to directly offset the fact that they would lose a partnership like a CWT partnership. But now here comes Direct Travel. And with the number of customers almost being equal, obviously the size might be a little bit different. I think it's a perfect landing spot for both SpotNana as well as for Troop, which is all part of the same portfolio families. I think that now they have a great playing ground, SpotNana does, and they get to play in this world of Direct Travel and really, really establish the product as maybe one of the go-to products. And that was the one piece that was lacking, I think. And now that they have it, I think that Steve has made a brilliant move with Direct Travel and bringing a agency that really has a big footprint right to the doorstep of SpotNana and Troop.
Yes, I am fascinated by this development and I'm going to keep a close watch on what's going on here. I mean, this is the exact right thing to do in my view. So I'm very intrigued. And any thoughts from your side?
Also intrigued. I'm fascinated. I have to ask, Ash, I saw some comments on LinkedIn. It seems like the narrative or the rhetoric in the US is becoming, this is a post made by Jeff Klee on a lot of discussions about the narrative is saying that there is no such thing as modernization of the TMCs, etc. This must have been a bit of a shock to those naysayers, I assume.
Yeah, I would agree. And Steve is not shy, I believe, from any kind of narrative that might be around. I mean, from his days at Concur. I mean, Concur, we all remember, really turned around the travel industry, in my opinion. I mean, they brought so much technology and so much value into the agency and really automated so many things. Of course, when you do anything, there's always going to be some negative that occurs. I mean, that's just the nature of trying to do something new, right? So his experience with Concur, I think, sets him up so well for this. The industry does need a little bit of a shot in the arm. And I think that this might be the right combination to do it.
Yeah, I know the post you're referring to, and I unfortunately fell for the honey trap comments in there and started engaging as well. And I know I shouldn't have, but yeah, there I go, I did. Next story, there was news last week about Travelport doing another round of redundancies. It was speculated, there was no official comment from them, it was just speculated this related to the conditions attached to their recent refinancing deal. I reached out to some of my contacts there, relieved to see those that I know remained in place. That was just happening in the news. I don't know if there's any comments, Ash, from your side.
Well, I mean, other than the fact that I have a nostalgic feeling towards Travelport, and when I hear news like this, it hurts me emotionally speaking.
Yes.
Other than that, you know, it's kind of sad. I go back to the days when Travelport was one of the leading technology companies in our time. So here we are.
And then there was news at Focus. Focus Travel Partnership announced their new CEO, and it's Steve Banks. There seems to be a lot of very complimentary comments made about that, including from myself. I'm happy to see Steve in that role. I think it's wonderful. You know, interesting to see what's going to happen there at Focus Travel Partnership. And before we go on, I just want to turn to our wonderful audience. We've got a really nice jam-packed room today. I thank you for giving us your time. We're not done. We're pretty much halfway through. So I just want to say thank you for the repeat faces we see there in the audience. We really appreciate your support. And of course, wonderful to see new faces in the audience. Our mission here with Linking the Travel Industry is to do exactly what it says there on the name, and that is to make sure that as many of us are connected to one another. So if you haven't gone through the audience just yet and see who is in there and send out a connection request, I'd encourage you to do so. We really think more of us need to be connected. I also want to call out a link of the week, and this week I'm going to select Ian Moss. Ian, you've been a great follower and providing me with lots of comments as well on my post. I appreciate that, but thank you for being a regular listener here. And for those in the audience who don't know Ian, do reach out. I'm sure he'll accept your connection request today. So Ian, well done for being our link of the week, and welcome again to new faces we see here on this event. We appreciate your support. Back to the list of stories. Another interesting acquisition by Hilton. I think they were in the news just recently as well with another brand they bought, but they acquired a majority stake. This is a complicated story in the parent company of the luxury Nomad Hotel in London, and they plan to expand that brand throughout the world. Ash, as always, of all things Hilton, I come to you for some comment. Do you know what they're doing here?
I actually read this a little bit differently. I thought that this included, this is all the Nomad hotels around the world, is it not?
I don't know. It was very difficult to figure that out.
So let's assume it is. So if that's the case, then from my side, I think this is a brilliant move by Hilton. The Nomad family hotels really didn't have a home, so to speak. Comment right there. That was a little bit of fun.
I was going to ask you if it got anything to do with Nomad people, but probably not, right? This just happens to be the name.
No, it's a very, very boutique and very, I mean, the Vegas one is a brilliant hotel. If you haven't been there, you would love it. It's just great. So yes, I think this is a great addition to the Hilton family. The Hilton family doesn't have a brand like Nomad. So this will definitely bring a nice layer of luxury and a little bit of eliteness into the Hilton portfolio.
Very good. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. JetBlue, again, increasing cost for checks bag. I mean, it's at some point, it's getting a bit hysterical. I see some of their fees for a second bag is now getting close to $70. So, Ash, you always check your bags, right? But are you going to pay that sort of fees for it?
No, because if you don't have elite status, then it doesn't make it. You might as well fly first class at some point, right? When you add up these fees, like if you have two bags, you might as well get the cabin up front and spend the extra money and get that waived. I always, when I do comparison shopping, because I check my bag all the time, I always account for the cost of the bag and my pricing. And of course, if you're in front of the plane, it's included, right? JetBlue has the ability now to add more cost to the bag.
I actually didn't realize that they were doing it dynamically. For me, dynamic pricing is really when you, in that interaction with the airline, you don't know how much it is until you're actually deciding on that particular flight. To me, that is dynamic.
I mean, the way the story is written out is that they're talking about that JetBlue is charging more for peak flying times. So they have decided what's peak flying time and what's non-peak flying time.
Yeah.
And depending on that is when the pricing changes. So it's not like you can go to the bank and say, okay, it's going to be $35 every single time. It's going to be based on your flying time as well.
Yeah, differentiated pricing based on when you're flying. Yeah, okay. I think we just sort of have a very different interpretation of dynamic. To me, it's just that you have, you know, you have this pricing at peak time and you have another pricing at, you know, another time of the day, sort of off peak. Variable pricing, exactly. Because, I mean, again, to me, dynamic is really when you kind of look at the website and, you know, your price is going to be $60 for the bag. And then I am on the website and it's $80 for me. That, to me, is dynamic pricing.
Yeah, well, yours is probably the real definition. Mine is very, I'm taking a lot of liberty.
There was a late-breaking story on Friday with Ryanair announcing that they've signed eSky Group on as their sixth OTA. You know, so there was the news of the week with Ryanair. Good for them, right? Another announcement. Anne, we both love this.
Yes. So happy to see this. This is like, it's one every week, isn't it? Fantastic.
Just about.
And almost,
you know, I saw a post by another person from outside the industry, some businessman who was complaining about the issues he had to go through with the rigmarole after booking with a certain OTA who was not authorized by Ryanair. But of course, he as a consumer doesn't know that, right? That's the whole point. And then, you know, all the pain and, you know, online check-in cost and all that sort of stuff he had to go through. And I made a comment on there saying we almost need, you know, like, was it Twitter? We used to have a little blue badge of verified, you know, the OTAs could have a little verified by Ryanair badge. Why not? Because then the consumers will know, right?
There's plenty of that that's needed. I'm very, very irritated by all of this. You don't get it in the US, Ash, but in Europe, there is just so much of undercutting the fares to just make sure that you sort of land on the metasearch as the sort of cheapest OTA and you remove stuff that is included just for that purpose, which is very annoying in my book.
Cool. Those were the stories on my list. I didn't have an extra story, but Ian, you've just messaged me. And so I'm just talking off the cuff here. But I know there was news last week about European sleeper trains increasing in its presence in Europe to Berlin from Brussels via Amsterdam. There was a European sleeper made it to Prague. But then, Ian, you sent me a post with a link to a story about how France is obstructing the overnight train between Amsterdam and Barcelona. Very interesting. I will certainly read into that and maybe do a post about it. I'm sure even you, Ian, might do a post about this, but it's interesting news. So those were the extra stories on my list. And do you have any extra stories on your side?
I just can't help by cracking up at France obstructing there. I mean, I think I told you that I used to, well, I think it's 10 years ago, I worked in rail. And of course, these challenges between the different countries was just like mind-boggling.
Yeah, you did not solve that one.
No, didn't solve that. Actually, that was it. Yeah, it was one nut way too hard to crack. I was very thankful when I left that project. Got a couple of extra stories. I thought it was interesting to see. It was Rob Burgess again, and they've actually renamed the newsletter of the week, the Travel Brief. It's always very interesting to read. But another airline that doesn't seem to be doing very well at all, actually, I'm really shocked by this. It's Oman Air. Did you catch that?
Did catch that, and I forgot to mention it. Yes, and I'm equally shocked.
Yeah, something's clearly very, very wrong and something's, you know, going on and all the routes that they're cutting and the aircraft that I believe they've been selling or decommissioning or what they've been doing, it's obvious they're not doing well. And I'm really, I'm so shocked. coming back to rail, I couldn't help but noticing that someone posted about, and I find this fascinating as it is my part of the world, that Norway are to invest 40 billion in rail infrastructure by 2036. So it's obviously ongoing from now till 2036. And that was quite big news.
Just to say, these are not 40 billion funny currency stuff. This is 40 billion US dollars, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is it necessary?
Well, it's a very long, stretched out country, as you know. The Nordic countries, Sweden, Norway, and Finland are, but Sweden is larger than Germany in size. Germany, of course, has 80 million people and Sweden has 10, but Sweden is actually larger in the size. And Norway is also actually larger than Germany, but only if you add the sort of territories of Norway.
I was going to say that we're going to hear news, 10 years from now that they're not making any money.
They've got all this oil, you know, it's the richest country.
So I think that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you for those in the audience joining us. We really appreciate it. Anne Osh, thank you for your time. Over to you, Anne.
Thanks, everyone, and a special thanks there to Ian Moss.
Thank you, everyone, for joining today's live recording of Linking in the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every week on Monday. Please do share this event with everyone that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you ever miss a show because of time zone availability, we make the podcast available on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.